This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Black Friday at Abercrombie Kids is here with 40% off everything. And Spotify listeners are getting an extra 15% off with code SPOTIFYAF. This is your time to shine and finish holiday shopping on sale. Shop in the app, online, and in stores. 40% off everything valid in stores and online November 24th, 2025 to December 1st, 2025 in U.S. and Canada. Excludes clearance and gift cards. Online price reflects discount. Use code SPOTIFYAF to get an additional 15% off everything in stores and online at checkout. From November 24th, 2025 to December 1st, 2025 in U.S. and Canada. Excludes clearance and gift cards. See details online.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Hell yeah!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
My voice is raising an octave, it's so crazy.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Talked to God and told me it's time to take a new step. It's a new chapter.
The Rich Eisen Show, coming up on today's show. College Football Roundup, Monday Night Football Preview, plus your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We'll be taking your phone calls throughout the final 2 hours of this show. We already chopped up Lane Kiffin. His situation, not him personally.
Well, you kind of chopped him up a little bit.
No, I didn't. He has every right to do what he wants to do, man. He has every right. And I thought Ole Miss was 100% right for saying, no, you're not staying here.
Absolutely.
You're not staying here. Pete Golding's the guy that can actually take this ship from here. And if not, guess what? He's going to take the ship here from here. We're going to name him permanently, and that's the end of that. Because, you know, if any indication from the previous hire at LSU, if that passed as prologue, worked out for Marcus Freeman, who'd never done it before, and the defensive mindset, certainly the rest of the team was into it. Sounds like the rest of the team's into this, too. So let's go. Makes sense. Instead of saying, oh, okay, sure, you stay here before you leave us for one of our arch rivals. By the way, Lane visits both Oxford and Tennessee. Oxford and Knoxville, where his name, Lane, is in fact a four-letter word of a different variety. So,
like Bucky Dent?
And his first game's against Clemson. I mean, it's going to be on. But he's incredibly talented, and he did win everywhere he's been, right? Or at least recently.
Yes, one.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the show. I think the biggest surprise of week 13 out of all that we saw or heard from week 13 is it's Mariota. Not Mariota.
That was jarring.
I didn't know it was Mariota.
For 3 hours, that was jarring.
Oh, no. I mean, at one point, I think Tirico did slip back into the
Mariota. Yeah, but then Tirico was calling it Mariota. It was like,
it's because that's what we've been calling him for a while. But
how about we call him Marcus?
Well, how about the fact that he said it in his open? As soon as I kept hearing them say Mariota all the time, I thought, well, you basically told him, that's how I pronounce my name. Is that how you'd like it to be pronounced? And maybe he basically said, yeah. But outside of that, the surprise was the Commanders at 3-8 on their losing streak for 6 games gave the Denver Broncos quite the ride.
And
quite the ride.
And he was open on the 2-point play. If Nick Bonino doesn't get his arm on it, they upset Denver.
But I think that is also
fun game.
I think that is also a microcosm of the entire Broncos season. Yep. Which is offense struggles, but when it comes time for rubber meeting the road, offense gets it done, and the defense is making some plays, more than not, going to sack you, going to put the pressure on you, and at the end of the day, they're going to make the winning play. And in tandem with a quarterback who has the ability to matriculate the ball when you need to, and also in the same way we were talking about how the the Bears don't turn it over, Bo Nix doesn't take losses of yardage, doesn't take sacks, and he did make one dreadful mistake throwing it right at a first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, oh, by the way, that's Bobby Wagner.
54, you should not throw it to him.
But when it all comes down to it, Bo Nix, his sixth game-winning drive of the season, which is what this was in overtime. By the way, did you hear how I said it? That's the Mariota way of saying overtime.
Yeah.
Or the Spiro Diadis way of saying overtime.
Overtime.
Game time. On the line, R.J. Harvey crossed the goal line in overtime.
Coop was celebrating.
And, yes, he might be off the guillotine because of that. And it's the sixth game-winning drive of his season. It ties Elway for the most in the season in Denver history in 1985 Elway. 85 Elway. I mean, that's John Elway.
That's peak John.
You know what I mean? Makes it a tough combination to beat. Now, you could say, again, the Broncos on their now 9-game win streak snapped a 5-game overtime loss streak. Did you know that? They lost 5 straight overtime games.
Hmm.
And if it wasn't for Nick Benito, it would have been a 6th. And they now are currently the 1 seed in the AFC rooting for the Giants tonight. As the Broncos know, the Giants with Jackson Dart can give you a scare. You just got to maybe come back from 90 million points down to win. And the last time the Broncos finished as the 1 seed was when the Super Bowl was in Santa Clara, Super Bowl 50, and they went on to win it with a defensive MVP, which is what probably the Broncos would have if they win this conference and go to the Super Bowl. 51 sacks for the Broncos now, 4th team in the last 40 seasons with more than 50 sacks in their first 12 games of a season. Last team to do it was the 2000 Saints. How about that? When they had 55 sacks. So, Sean Payton, kudos to him. It's his 11th season with 10 or more wins as a head coach. That's 5th most in NFL history. Tom Landry has 16. And we'll tell you who's 4th on that list in a second. But here's Bo Nix after the win.
I was told a long time ago by one of my many offensive coaches that pressure is a privilege, and not many people get to be in that opportunity. So if it's going to be me who gets this opportunity, I'm going to make the best of it. And it doesn't always go your way. Fortunately for us, it's gone our way in these games. But last year, we were on the opposite end of these close ones. And so I understand what it's like to be on the other side of things. But you just got to keep moving on, and you got to have a belief that you're just going to find a way. And, didn't look great there for a minute, but we just found a way to make the next best play. And, at the end of the day, score one more point than they did. And that's the difference in the game in this league. It's every game comes down to the last possession pretty much. And so you just have to, kind of accept the fact and just put yourself in that moment and don't change anything. Just go out and execute.
Do you think when he was going on the platitude of Palooza there, he did realize it was just a one-point win for them? Or that's just a phrase he's probably heard over and over again, just be one point
probably
better.
Probably just a phrase.
Because that's all they were, was just one point better, which is all that matters.
Look, they have 10 wins. 8 are one scores. This team is kind of Chiefsian to me of the last couple years.
They have bodies switched.
It kind of feels like it, though, no?
Well, certainly since they were getting some calls at the end there, too, right? Yeah. I didn't think that was a false start. And Terry McCauley was saying that's not
right
intentional grounding either. That brought a 3rd and 25 about that, by the way, Mariota over Kane to force overtime. It's going to take some getting used to. But the Broncos bandwagon that was so full over the summer that by the opening of the season, they were trying to get people off the bandwagon by selling seats to future bandwagons. I don't think any of those Broncos bandwagon jumpers or even diehard Orange Crushers, okay, could have even dreamt of the scenario where they enter December as the one seed. That could be fleeting. We'll see what happens on Monday night with the Patriots. But even if the Patriots get their 11th win tonight, they're on a bye next week, and then Denver takes on Vegas in Denver, which means they win that game, and they do enter the final four games of the season as the one seed. They're at Vegas, pardon me, before they welcome in Green Bay in what could be, entering week 15, the national setup of Super Bowl preview. I don't think that scenario, along with the fact that they entered December four games, let me repeat that, four games better than the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't think anybody on that bandwagon or diehards in the Rocky Mountains and the surrounding areas could have even dreamt that is possible. But that is, in fact, the case. The Broncos are perfectly positioned to win this conference and certainly the division. Two games better than the Chargers, who now do look like they're going to have a shadow at worst and an injured version at best of Justin Herbert the rest of the way. Look at that left, like almost, what does that look like? An oven mitt, well, it's not that bad. It kind of looked like a, you know, a superhero's glove, right? I don't know whatever kept his left hand together because he needs surgery to repair
He's having surgery today.
Maybe as we speak. Justin Herbert is going to finish the season with a freshly surgically repaired non-throwing hand.
Jeez. It's like a Nintendo Power Glove.
Oh, yeah, remember those things?
That's it. Okay. Well, hopefully there's some Infinity Stone
that type too.
Additions that they can put in there. Because, I mean, it doesn't sound great. And it's the last thing. Like, oh, you know, it's no big deal that our quarterback needs hand surgery before the Week 14 Monday night finale on ESPN against the Eagles. Without our tackles. But good news for the Chargers is they are two games behind the Broncos, and they've already beaten Denver. As a matter of fact, they're the last team to beat Denver back in Week 3. Remember, Denver started the season 1-2 without having trailed in a single one of the games at all? Well, since that 1-2 start, they've won 9 in a row. Take a 10-win record into December, and the Chargers now have a vicious stretch. Out of all the teams left in this AFC West race, home for Philly, at Kansas City, at Dallas, home for Houston, at Denver. That is a brutal final five. You could put that up against anyone else's final five, and that might be the toughest one. And they're going to go into this stretch without their tackles, hopefully for them getting Omarion Hampton back, and then somehow, some way, their quarterback not missing time or a healthy left hand. You know what I mean? It's not optimum, but Jim Harbaugh, as you know, can create belief where there's a lot of disbelief and a lot of Chargers fans looking for a trapdoor opening up, despite the Chargers being the 5 seed right now at 8-4.
Yeah, I'd be tough pressed to see them make the playoffs with that schedule.
Shall see, sir.
Especially with the way Houston's coming on.
It's still better, as we just described to you, the conundrum for the Broncos. It's still better than what the Chiefs are dealing with right now. I mentioned moments ago talking about Sean Payton becoming the entering the top five all time of coaches with double digit victory seasons, with 10 wins for this Broncos team. That's his 11th season as a head coach in the NFL with his team reaching at least 10 wins. On the list in front of him is Tom Landry with 16. Third all time with 19 is Andy Reid. And I will tell you, I am now, as somebody that is firmly in the world of media types, I just call myself a media type, talking heads, whatever you want to call me. I have been firmly in the camp of, I'll believe it when I see it, with the Kansas City Chiefs now making the playoffs. And they're now 6-6, which is a record Mahomes has never had as a profession, as a professional player. As I told you last week, the stat that I keep being blown away by, or at least the nugget, the fact that I keep being blown away by, is the earliest a Chiefs season has ever ended with Mahomes as their starting quarterback is overtime in the AFC Championship game. First season as a starter, lost in overtime to Tom Brady in the AFC Championship game, then won a Super Bowl, then lost one, then lost in overtime in the AFC Championship game to Joe Burrow, then made the Super Bowl ever since. Win or lose. Well, this year, we might see an earlier exit. And I'm finally believing it. Because the mistakes that they are making are costing them in one-score games. They only have one, they didn't lose a single one-score game last year. This year, they have only one win in such games, and that was the overtime win against Indianapolis that they pulled out of their 20-9 deficit orifice at home a couple weeks ago in the fourth quarter to force overtime and win it. And then they just do un-Chiefs-like things. 10 penalties for 119 yards against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day. They did take the lead. And it looked like, okay, they're going to show up and they're going to boat race the Cowboys and that's the end of that. Then the defense just couldn't stop a cold. Well, it's tough to stop George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb and Javonte Williams when, wait for it, they all score, right?
True that.
And I just want to be accurate here on that front. Pickens did not score, but he almost did after he pirouetted out of a surefire tackle and jumped over somebody. And Dak went off again. But the Chiefs also had the ability to score right before halftime and right after halftime, and they came away with no points. That didn't happen. The final drive that the Cowboys put a nail, one of the nails in the coffin that Mahomes tried to pry open at the end by finding Xavier Worthy wide open over the middle after he was escaped a sack twice, right?
It was just like, what?
It's just like, but that's why I'm always in the camp of I'll see you when I believe it.
Yeah.
Because that play was over, and then the game was not over until it was. But the reason why they won it is because they went up by 2 scores after Rashee Rice dropped one that hit him right in the hands on the 50-yard line. And this is a guy that had 2 scores. It just works, and then it doesn't. So un-Chiefs-like things are happening to the Chiefs, who are now 6-6, and Mahomes was asked what the ceiling for this team is.
You know, our ceiling is playing in the Super Bowl. We got the same guys. We've added players, but at the end of the day, you got to go out and do it on every single week, a week in, week out basis, and we can beat anybody. But I mean, we've shown that we can lose to anybody, and so we got to be more consistent. It starts with me being consistent throughout the entire game, not in just big moments, and that's something that we have to do throughout an entire game and week to week. It's not just one time, and we obviously see the last week we have a big win, and then you come here and play another good football team, and you don't come to play, and so the ceiling can be what it is, but until you put it on the football field, you won't be able to go out there and win football games.
What an honest assessment, I think, and I don't like talking in absolutes, okay? I just don't. But I think the ceiling for the Chiefs the realistic ceiling for the Chiefs in the regular season now is to make it as a wild card. I think the ship has sailed on winning the division for a 10th straight time. I can't believe I'm saying
you
that.
Okay, you feel all right? You need right. like a cold press or something?
I might need a moment. Okay. But dead air doesn't work on a simulcast.
Oh, man, Eric's not going to call you back now.
That's all right. I think he understands what time it is as well. All right, cool. Because you look at the situation. They are four back of the Broncos. They would have to, obviously, win on. They have to, if they win out, they would beat the Broncos on Christmas Day as well. If they win out, they're 11-6. I don't know what the other tiebreakers are, but it doesn't matter because I think the Broncos win at least twice the rest of the way. You look at the Broncos' remaining schedule. I have it here right in front of me. They're at Vegas. They're home for Green Bay and Jacksonville, and they're at Kansas City and the Chargers. I kind of feel like there's two wins there, including their next one. What do you think? They're going to go 1-4 the rest of the way, have only 11 wins, and the Chiefs win out. And as for the Chiefs the rest of the way, Sunday night home against a Houston team that's won 4 in a row and defensively is getting after the world. Home for the Chargers at Tennessee. There's that Denver game on Christmas on Netflix, and then at Vegas. They can win out and what have Denver go 1-4 and the rest of the tiebreaks work in their favor, and thus that's the way they win their 10th straight division. And the problem is if they don't win the division, their best path, the way that I see it right now, is they wind up tied. They wind up tied with either the Colts or Houston. And Jacksonville, they're rooting for Jacksonville to win the AFC South. Because as you know, they've already lost to Jacksonville. I've been saying for weeks, the problem for the Chiefs is if they're a wild card team, they've lost to every single occupant of the wild card department currently open for business in the AFC standings, if we can see those. Jacksonville has now removed itself from the wild card equation after the Texans beat the Colts and the Jacksonville Jaguars beat the Titans. Their 8-4 record is good enough for third in the conference. They're in first place right now, taking on the Colts next week. And for the first of two times, they currently hold other tiebreakers on the Colts to put them in that position. The Chiefs have beaten the Colts, and if they beat the Texans, if either of those two teams wind up not winning the division in the AFC South and wind up being a wild card team, then all the Chiefs have to do is tie the Texans or the Colts. So if the Jaguars beat the Colts next week, and the Colts are now 8-5, and the Chiefs beat the Texans, they'll leapfrog the Texans. And then they're only one behind the Colts, who they would hope would then lose some of these games in division. That's all they have to do is hope the Jaguars win. They don't have to see them in a tiebreak situation. And don't even have to worry about the Bills and Chargers. Just focus on the AFC South. Hope those results break for you, which they can. And win as many games as you possibly can. And then you could talk about the Super Bowl being your ceiling. That's the way I'm seeing the Chiefs right now entering December.
Yeah, ESPN Analytics has them at 42% to make the playoffs.
Ooh. All right.
It's 3% division.
It's better than a Dumb and Dumber chance.
Sure.
3%, it's we're getting towards milk here.
Yeah.
And so it sure looks like their reign atop the division is over with 6 wins and 6 losses. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Mea culpas. I've been writing checks verbally. And that check was returned to sender and the big house on Saturday.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Let's talk about O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts, accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, too, can test your battery for free in or out of your car. And if it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. That's how helpful they are. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. This message is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. As a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we know that during the holiday season, every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 on the Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. Give joy, get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Back here on our Rich Eisen show, simulcast on Disney Plus and the ESPN app everywhere. Also, ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. This just in, over the last 4 years, when the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry turned on a dime with the Aiden Hutchinson, Hassan Haskins-led Jim Harbaugh Wolverines in a snowy day in the big house, when that happened, it was a great day. Great day around here. And then the next year, going into the horseshoe with J.J. McCarthy and his first season there, and Michigan having lost a single game, and they go in there and beat him in the horseshoe, beat C.J. Stroud in the horseshoe, you know, sending Garrett Wilson into the NFL season, you know, without a win against Michigan in his last game there. And then they go back to the big house, and Blake Corum pops one on them, and they pop him in the mouth, and Michigan does go on to win the national championship as to date the last undefeated national champion in collegiate football. And then last year, supposed to end the streak, because Michigan was without Harbaugh and without a lot of players, and they go in with a walk-in quarterback and win that game. I mean, that was totally unexpected. 4 wins in a row. As you know, I've been talking with my chest because, you know, it'd been a while. Got my words and my body parts handed to me by Ohio State and Urban Meyer and whatever for all those years. Mm-hmm. So I've been talking.
Yeah.
And at some point, I knew it would all end. At some point. It's always cyclical. That's what happens with a rivalry. But a fifth in a row would have been really sweet, especially with Ohio State being undefeated, and Michigan now having the wunderkind who came in here, Bryce Underwood, kind enough to come in here over the summer. Talking smack to LeBron. Came in here and talked about it, and then Bryce Underwood in his first game against Ohio State. Started okay. Michigan got the ball, marched down the field, got a field goal, and then Julian Sain, the kid who they've got in a Heisman hopeful position with their stud wide receivers, throws an interception. I mean, what a way for this game to start. I'm sitting there with my buddy Jimmy and Cooper and dogs, and I'm like, is this the day? Is this possibly the day with snow coming? And the answer was an emphatic no. It was not. Ohio State came into the Big House after having a disastrous start to this 2025 version and hit my Wolverines in the mouth repeatedly. Out-executed Michigan, out-toughed Michigan, out-coached Michigan, outdid everything. Start to finish. Now, what we have on the screen here is a moment that my Wolverine friends thought was a brief loss of the football by Jeremiah Smith as he was crossing the goal line to take the lead on Michigan for the first time in this game. And a, by the way, absurd route that Jeremiah Smith ran. Did you see that?
He's so good.
I mean, he could start for all 32 right now. I mean, that's what everybody's saying coming in.
Listen, not the Cowboys.
Excuse me, sir.
Stop it.
You would
not the Cowboys.
Would start nice. For us. That route that he ran was absurd. Is the reason why scouts are drooling all over number four right now.
Yeah, it's absurd. He has to play another year.
As if Carnell Tate's not a first round wide receiver.
Yeah.
Also, okay. And for a moment, I thought I was going to finally benefit on a rule that I would like out of football, which is if you fumble and you step out of bounds, as it looked like Smith was going to do, it looked for a hot minute that they were going to take that touchdown away, which would have been a gift from the football gods that I wasn't expecting. And of course, they said that they didn't have a proper view of it, and said that the ruling was upheld, which is kind of weird because if you don't have a proper rule of it, the play stands as called, but whatever, that's Big Ten language for the referees there. And even, hey, listen, even if you feel, my fellow Wolverines, that we were robbed by that, there is a Roman Wilson touchdown from a couple years ago in the Big House that Ohio State fans thought they ripped from his hands. Do you remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe it's evening things out, but it didn't matter anyway. Michigan just wasn't. It's unfortunate to say, but I'm always going to shoot you straight. Just we weren't equipped. This kid Julian Sain was making every throw after that interception. He shook it off, which is what terrific quarterbacks are supposed to do. He shook it off in a way that other quarterbacks that have been playing in this big game for the last few years weren't able to. And then when the snow started coming down, and this was supposed to be the weather in which Michigan was supposed to dominate and out-tough Ohio State, they decided to just run it down Michigan's throat, which was the toughest thing to take. Actually, the toughest thing to take was after the game, seeing Michigan try to defend the M in the middle of the field, right? After they couldn't properly defend their own end zone on occasion. Even when Buckeye Brutus, whatever the hell, Brutus Buckeye, whatever the hell, stepped out in the snow and did you see drew a script Ohio on like the 1 yard line and then an X over the M in the end zone?
That got wiped out real quick.
Well, I mean, they tried, but they did everything right, including the way they handled the win afterwards. This is what, and you know, Ryan Day had every reason to crow. He had every reason to stick it where the sun does not shine. But this is what he had to say after the game to the press.
As you can imagine, over the years, you know, after winning this game, what I'd say in this press conference, and I'm going to save all those comments because I think the best thing to do is win with humility. And that's what we're going to do. And I think that's it speaks to our program. It speaks to what it means to be a Buckeye. And we wanted to take this rivalry game back this year. And so the way that our guys played certainly spoke to that.
Mission accomplished, Ryan Day. You took it back. That is no doubt about it. And you know what really had to really stick in my coach's craw was when the Michigan players were out on the M after the game, making sure that there was no flag plant. That I don't know if you see. Did you see this? Mm-mm. Ryan Day went up to Coach Moore and said, basically, can you get your players off the field here? We're not planting flags here today. And them being here is what could create the ruckus. And Moore, I think, understood that and was being told by the other coach on his own field, can you get your players off? And it was the right thing to do. And that had to really stick in Sherrone Moore's craw, because it was the right thing to do. Get off the field. None of this other stuff.
Yeah, cooler heads.
And I it made me feel silly as to the way I did react to the flag planting and the OH stuff, and that I need to act like a better somebody of my own age. I swear to you, I went through, I saw that moment. I'm like, how dare he go up to my coach on this field? But he did it the right way. Like, and I kind of feel like I want to apologize to Ryan Day the way that I've been having fun at his expense. Mm. Honestly. And no notes. Pitch perfect. Ohio State going into that stadium, do what they did with their receivers. Tate up top. Smith on a perfect route. Touchdowns. And then Bo Jackson, what a name, down Michigan's throat with other running backs. And then afterwards, get off. Don't plant a flag. I'm not even going to say what I want to say here in this microphone. On to the Big Ten championship and trying to go back-to-back national champions. No notes.
Yeah, I think big on you for admitting that. And I think it also speaks to where college football's at, where there's bigger games now than this, unfortunately. Yeah. You know.
There are, in terms of, you know, the ultimate goal, but I'm already hearing massive recriminations on my side of the aisle, if you will, about losing this game and seeing the way Bryce Underwood, the number of times that Joel Klatt on the broadcast was like, that guy was open, that guy was open. If he was only able to just wait a beat here or there, makes me feel like, was he prepared enough for this game? Mm. To be straight up honest with you. And that's one of the things that I think, you know, my guy Coach Moore needs to look at. Get a quarterback coach specifically for him. Like, how can we make sure, because he's going into the next year, he's going into the horseshoe. And it's going to be tougher. It's going to be tougher. And because Smith, I don't think Tate's going to be here. I know every Browns fan is looking at Tate saying, that's the guy we should get in the first round next year. But Smith's not going anywhere. And they're just going to reload. And so he's got to be, you know, prepared for the moment. Certainly, you know, again, I love the kid. He came here and sports... You sent me this. I didn't see that. Sports Center.
Well, I saw it on LeBron's story, actually.
About how he, you know, when he came in here talking about LeBron and because he did meet LeBron and he's, you know, again, he was 17 when he was in here. And so he's feeling really good about himself. And LeBron retweeted it when he basically said, you know, it's all over for Ohio State. And I he was here and was kind enough to come in here. And he's also a brash young kid. But I'm just wondering, how will he process this moving forward? How will Michigan process this moving forward? Because it's more than just a game. It's a legacy game and all of that stuff. But for Ohio State, it's just like Michigan, you know, in many of the previous years when Jim was there and when Sherrone was the acting head coach, it's a stepping stone to something bigger while preventing the other team from doing what it's doing. You know, so... That's the way I'm reacting to it. And I will say this one more time. Why the Big Ten is happy to have Indiana and Ohio State put their undefeateds against each other in a game prior to this college football playoff. Like, what are we doing? What do you want? You want one of these teams to get nicked up? You want one of these teams to put something on film, on tape? You know what I mean?
Same thing in the SEC. It's Alabama, Georgia, and it's just... Why? What's the point?
Well, I mean, especially if none of the results are supposed to
matter,
affect the final 12, right?
Right. And Alabama is maybe a bubble team. If they get blown out, are they out now? It's kind of weird. I don't know.
So
championship weekend needs to go bye-bye.
I think that's inevitable, but so I mean, this part and parcel of everything that's gone on in college football over the past few years is just, once again, the world is changing, and there's no adults in the room to try and figure out a better way to do it, yeah. where all the presidents and coaches and athletics directors are all on the same page. Yeah. But congrats to Ohio State. A full thumping. And they handled it, in the manner in which I'm appreciative. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, phone calls coming up. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Commercial Insurance can protect your small business with over 30 coverage options, an easy-to-use mobile app, personalized discounts, and more. Get a quote in as little as 8 minutes at progressivecommercial.com. Discounts and coverage selections not available in all states or situations. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Don't go anywhere. Back with more in a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show. The podcast.
Rich Eisen here, and we're brought to you by Sonos. The holidays are all about connection, and Sonos speakers make every moment sound amazing. Imagine your favorite playlist flowing from room to room, movie nights that feel like the theater, or the big game filling your living room with stadium-quality sound. Whether it's a gift for someone you love or a little to-me-from-me moment, Sonos is the perfect gift that brings high-quality sound to every room. Sonos' Black Friday sale is on now through December 1st, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
Dude, you, by the way, we just showed Mike Del Tufo talking about insufferable Michigan fans. So it's me, Charles Woodson.
I mean,
that's
I,
the ones
I
in
friends,
your life that you
I
find.
I have other friends.
Name me a name. How should I not sit there and go,
I don't have to name names.
And then
it's
you
a
troll
fact.
On him and him out of the blue. So I ask you just point blank. I'm going to ask you point blank.
Yes. But you think that's cool?
No, hold on a second. I'm going to ask this point blank. Do you hate us secretly?
No, I get trolled on more than anyone
on this show.
But not by anyone in this room.
That's 100%. That's a lot.
You guys got to put this in.
Like, you guys all know that. Susie will say you're too tough on Mike.
Your mother would. Anyone will. I have people that call and say they will.
He's got a point.
It's a fact.
But you bring it. You bring it on yourself.
I bring it on.
But we do it to your face. On the show, and it's all good nature.
I have to sit there on Threads. By the way, the reason
why you're doing it online,
the reason why I'm on Threads as opposed to X is because it is a nicer spot. I'm not saying the owner of Threads is above reproach like the owner of X, but the owner of X is so beyond reproach. I can't
personally
post on it anymore.
I'm with you on that.
I mean, we definitely post videos on it because it is a platform that I did before all of this stuff. You know, I built over 1 million followers. I don't know how many are real, you know, but, and my account is based in the United States, unlike others. But bottom line is, I'm on there to avoid this sort of discourse, certainly not from somebody who I look at every day and looks at me.
No.
Think I'm sitting here talking about this stuff as I'm insufferable.
I congratulated TG on his win on Dallas.
Okay. Oh, that meant so much, too.
I'm on Thursday. It did. You actually text me back.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't text you guys back. You text me back.
Let's talk about something. Oh, my God.
Yes. You did.
But by the way, that's news that you texted anybody.
Yeah, because I was happy.
Really?
Congrats.
Yeah, I just said that.
By the way, I trolled the Chiefs fans.
Don't let me start pulling out texts.
You shouldn't be proud of trolling.
I'm a troll.
It's not something to be proud of.
Yeah, but
right?
I'm sorry.
Come
if
on,
you
you're
feel
not 12.
Like I'm insufferable.
No.
And Chuck, by the way, Charles Woodson has every reason. He's
no, but,
been
but,
in the
but I will
arena.
Say he's actually and
Charles
I
Woodson
that.
Is a goat. He can say whatever.
No, but what
he
I
wants.
Say is
certainly since the guy to his
and I love
left
Charles.
Is 100%,
and I love
rooting
Charles.
In a certain way and being smug about it because he's got 7 wins,
and of course,
and he holds
Charles.
Up the number
and
7 at the Michigan fans. Were
I
there.
Love you, and I love Charles. I just
I don't know.
You guys when
I think
you
think
were
I'm
winning.
Insufferable.
When you guys are winning, you were. If you look at the definition of insufferable,
I will do it.
I'm looking at it.
Good for you.
Thank you.
844-204-RICH, number down. Let's be more hopeful. Yes. Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. At Hyundai, hope isn't optional. It comes standard. Mossab in Chicago, Illinois. How about his Bears? Mossab, you're on the Rich Eisen Show, sir. Again, good to chat with you.
Good to chat with you too, Rich. I don't know. You guys miss me?
Dude.
That's what the Bears are showing.
Oh, don't. Now,
the
don't
Rich
become.
So needs me to call in again.
Don't become insufferable. Otherwise, Del Tufo is going to threat at you, you know, not by name. I got to be honest. I'm looking at every single Chicago Bear win-loss game played by everybody. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 that were played. Not one of the seven had them winning this game in Philadelphia. Not one. And
no, it was definitely a surprise. It was definitely a surprise, and it's a good surprise. But that just shows how Ben Johnson has turned the culture around, turned the team around. He's built the structure so great. Started with the offensive line, bought into the run game, believes in Caleb, but he limits him to not mess up so much to where it doesn't affect the team outcome as much.
Correct.
Yeah, so I called in because 2 months ago, I just wanted to remind you guys, 2 months ago, you guys did your prediction for the NFC North. You guys all had the Bears in fourth place?
That might be true. I don't know.
Yeah,
Chris, you are higher on the Bears than most here.
I checked it yesterday.
Ah, okay.
Why are you bringing up old stuff?
No, listen. listen.
Now we're not just first place in the NFC North. We're first place in the NFC.
And you got to finish strong in order to stay there because now you are in the high rent district. You have earned your way into the high rent district, and you are in the penthouse of said high rent district right now. And now comes Ben Johnson's first whack at the Packers rivalry.
Johnson should be coach of the year.
Well, he and Vrabel are, because, I believe, are the current occupants from both conferences.
Vrabel has been a coach before, right? And he's done the same thing with the Titans, restructured them and made them a great team and stuff like that. Coming into the year, everybody was doubting Ben Johnson. Was not sure this guy was an OC, never a head coach. Are we sure about this guy? Blah, 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 all that. Yeah. Now he's got a first-place team in the NFC, right? So that's one. Ben Johnson should be the in first place for coach of the year. Another thing is I'm not saying he should win it, but Kyle Manungai should be in the conversation for
offensive rookie of the year. And Mossab, we're up against the end of the hour on the radio, and I'm sure you're listening to this show, hopefully, on ESPN 1000 there in Chicago. I got to run. Call back, bud, because, again, we're literally 5 seconds away from the hour ending here. I don't mean to cut him off, but since nobody's cutting the Bears off, basically, for the last 2 months, except for the Ravens. Hour three coming up right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.